Blog Talk Radio.
Hey girls, and what up dudes? This is your girl Princess with Truth Heals Hurt Radio. Today we will deal with what most people are afraid of, going to the doctor. But the truth is, what we don't know and don't address can kill us. So, today's guest, Dr. Paulette Galbert, is going to come talk to us from 8 to 8:30 and answer questions and hopefully calm some of our fears. Then at 8:30, I'm going to have a question and answer session, and you can talk about your businesses, you can ask me questions, and you can give me some ideas for some shows to come. So, I ask that you get prepared. Facebook, tweet, text, let somebody know we're on. It's time for the show. Hello, everybody, and I am so excited. I see a lot of my friends have called in to join me. I'm not sure who's online right now, but those of you that are online, we have a Facebook chat room that is going on my Facebook page, Princess F.L. Gooden, and it's going to allow you to ask the questions if you have any. If you don't have any, you can learn something just by listening into the show. I'm so excited about my guest. I call her Dr. G. because I think she's a genius and she's great. And so she's helped me through a lot of my health issues that I've been dealing with that I recently found out about. Dr. G, are you there?
Yes, ma'am, I am.
Okay. Now, sometimes there's a little delay on the show because we're going through internet waves. So I'm not trying to out-talk you. And so if I cut you off, just keep going. If you hear me say something, sometimes I'm not trying to interrupt. I'm just making, you know, like agreement sounds. Since this is the Ask Your Doctor, we're going to start off with you telling us a little bit about yourself, Dr. G.
Sure. I actually was born and raised in Houston. I went to medical school in San Antonio, Texas, at the University of Texas Health Science here at San Antonio. I did residency there in San Antonio in family medicine and am board certified with family medicine. We practiced for 13 years with a nonprofit, and at the end of the nonprofit time, I went out into private practice and spent 3 years in private practice. For those 16 years, I was actually on clinical faculty with Tulane University Medical Center, the University of Mississippi at Jackson, University of South Alabama at Mobile, as well as the University of, it's the nurse practitioner program in Hattiesburg. And then in 2011, I sold my private practice and moved to Belize, where I taught at a Caribbean medical school and worked as a hospitalist intensivist, commuting to and from the United States. We came
back
5 years ago, and I've been the chief medical officer for Kwajalein Atoll in the Marshall Islands for the last 2 years.
And that is awesome, and that is how I got the opportunity to meet you. So I'm excited. I have a lot of things that I'm happy about when it comes to Quad, and one of them is meeting you, and then the other ones are the children by name. But anyway, we're going to get started with the questions because we have quite a few. This first question says, what are ways to get rid of high blood pressure? The children have helped me, but that's not the right answer, so let me let Dr. G chime in.
Actually, that very much can be the right answer. There are studies that show that participation in community activities with children, with animals, all lower our blood pressure. But to be honest, there are both medical and non-medical ways of reducing your blood pressure. Of course, there's pills you can take, and of course there are things that you can do that are medicinal. But in addition to that, and everyone hears it, what you eat, how you exercise, how you maintain your weight, how you hydrate are all things that have an effect on your blood pressure as well. But Ms. Princess, one of the things that most people don't realize is that the amount of stress and the amount of sleep that you have every day is a big determiner of what your blood pressure is.
Wow. And I do know that. I've learned that one. So for those of you that have high blood pressure issues, first you got to look at those things that she just stated, because we have to be honest with ourselves. Like, for me, I wasn't getting a lot of sleep. I wasn't, yeah, so it's a lot of the things that she just said and a lot of things that I could have control over. The next question is, depression something that can be controlled?
That is the easiest question I think anybody will ask me today. The answer is yes. And just like the answer for high blood pressure, most people don't think of depression or anxiety as something that's the same as diabetes or high blood pressure. And so the bottom line is that depression and anxiety can be controlled in the same way that high blood pressure, diabetes, or heart disease can be controlled. And people can absolutely manage those things both with medicine and not with medicine.
Mm-hmm. So so when we get to the medicine part, have we gone too far? Like, is there something we can do like ahead of time before we get to the medicine option?
So just like with diabetes, where sometimes people get diagnosed with diabetes and their diabetes is so out of control that they have to take insulin at first. Mm-hmm. And then once their diabetes is controlled, they can go back to using pills or sometimes not even require insulin. The same thing is true of depression. So depression can be treated initially with counseling, behavioral cognitive therapy, or it can require medication up front. It depends on what kind of depression it is, what are the symptoms, and how long someone has had them.
Wow, okay. So then, since you said something about diabetes, I have a question here about that. It says, what are the chances of you getting diabetes in your 40s if you haven't seen any signs and symptoms and it's hereditary?
Oh, that is a great question, Ms. Princess. You know, the development of diabetes is genetic, but here's the thing. Even though we can't change our genetics, most of us have the ability to do things that will modify our genetics a little bit, okay? So Is it possible for someone whose mother, brother, father, and grandparents had diabetes to make it through their 40s and 50s and on into their 70s and 80s without developing diabetes? That is absolutely possible, okay? But here's the other thing.
Okay.
Depending on how we manage our medical problems, meaning depending on how we manage our stress or our sleep or how active we are, those things also determine when we're going to show high sugars.
Mm-hmm. So we don't necessarily have to get it just because our mom and dad, people like that, have it. Are there some other things that
we
can not? Yeah, so are there some other things that normally, I guess for me, I'm asking, like high blood pressure, those things. What are some other hereditary things?
So you would be very surprised, I think, maybe to learn that depression and anxiety, high blood pressure, bipolar disorder. We all recognize that certain cancers are genetic. But What most of us don't realize is that some of the psychiatric conditions are genetic. We're learning every day what other of different kinds of skin conditions and different kinds of diseases are genetically caused. But here's something else that's very interesting. A lot of times, if you're genetically supposed to develop diabetes or high blood pressure or even eczema, what worked for your family a lot of times works for you as a medication. We've known that literally for more than 20 years in psychiatry, because people who have depression, whose mother or father might have had depression and a certain medicine worked really well for them, that's usually one of the medicines that you want to start, because there seems to be a genetic ability for that medication to handle that disease if there is a genetic predisposition for it.
Wow. Now, that's cool because I remember you talking to me about that. Okay, so then we have one. Somebody wants to know, what are the home remedies for hot flashes?
Oh, you know, if we had been able to cure hot flashes with all the home remedies, I'm telling you, there would have been happy with for many, many generations. Hot flashes, interestingly enough, do have a little bit of a genetic predisposition. So if your mother, aunt, or uncle went through menopause and had hot flashing at a certain age, and they were of a certain degree, we always ask those questions because there's evidence that people can be predisposed to the kind of menopausal changes that their family had. So the answer is, what kind of homeopathic remedies are there? There's a lot of evidence that the soy-based estrogens, meaning the estrogens that are in the female parts of plants, do change our hot flashes, okay? The other things that actually make hot flashing worse are foods that are containing tannins. Now, most people don't realize that a red meat or a glass of red wine contains tannins. So it is true that limiting those things that have tannins can also improve people's hot flashes. There's also a lot of evidence. We hear things about St. John's wort over the counter, but remember that a lot of those over-the-counter medications, most of those are not FDA actually tested at certain prescriptive doses. And, for example, St. John's wort is actually a very weak Prozac, which is a known depressive medication. That's why it helps some with being able to treat your hot flashes, but you don't want to use the over-the-counter medications without talking to your doctor first, because you may not realize that some of those soy estrogens have enough estrogen associated with them to, for example, trigger off your genetic predisposition for breast cancer or be associated with blood clots. Okay?
Oh, wow.
So always talk to your doctor first.
Wow. Now that's, you're teaching us today. I feel like I'm in class. I'm trying to take notes and host the show. So I see where the diabetes question has another side to it. What are some things that will give you red flags or some kinds of signs that you have diabetes?
You know, classically, the diabetic signs tend to have things like increased urination, an increase in fatigue. A lot of times people who have very, very advanced sugars, meaning really high sugars, those people will actually lose weight, and they don't realize that they're losing weight because their body is actually breaking down what they need. So the classic things that people should look for are things like increased urination, increased thirst, increased fatigue, a decrease in your exercise tolerance or capability of doing what you need to do every day, getting up at night to go pee-pee. Those are all things that we should be aware of and can be early signs of diabetes.
Okay. And so are there some ways to, I guess, work on that if we get like if we go to the doctor, first of all, and find out that we're in the early stages, can we knock that out without medicine? That was her last question.
The answer is absolutely. There are ways to control sugar without medicine. But here's the thing, okay? Just like as women, our menstrual cycles may have been different when we were in 20s, they're different when we're 30, and they're different when they're 40, right? So throughout our lives, controlling the sugar will be different based on a lot of factors as we age. So the bottom line is that can you control diabetes early and diagnose it early and not have to take insulin or medication, sure, but that doesn't mean that you're going to be able to control it forever like that. So don't get disappointed thinking that you're not doing something that you should be doing. What you're actually doing is just growing with that disease and learning to control it based on where it is in your life.
Mm. Okay, I'm coming with the rolling now with the questions. Those of you that are online, if you want to ask a question, press 1. And then I will open up your line so that you can ask your question, because sometimes you can better explain, explain it better than I can. But before I go to open up a line, because I saw where there's a press 1, if you'll hang on, caller, I have a question. Now, there were two types, and this is my question, because I never understood this. There are people that were at the church where I worked at that had diabetes, and we had to run somewhere to go get them a Coke or something with some sugar. And then there were people with diabetes that we could not give them sugar. What's the difference?
When you ran to get someone a Coke, you were most probably treating an episode of low sugar, okay? And what you were trying to do then was you were trying to elevate their sugar out of a place where they were symptomatic, okay? So here's the thing. Treating diabetes is one of those things where people have symptoms from your sugar being too high or too low. And what most people don't realize is that there's a lot of different foods that have sugar or different drinks that have sugar that we don't know it, but our body converts that to sugar within the body. So, for example, and everybody knows that when you have diabetes, you really shouldn't eat white potatoes and rice. Well, not a lot of people realize that the reason you don't eat those things is because when you eat it, your body converts it over to a certain amount of sugar. So it's not just that you don't give somebody a Coke. It's also that Coke gets converted and used in a different way in a diabetic's body.
Wow. Now, that I told you I'm in class. I'm trying to take notes. I'm going to open up my line so I can finish my note-taking. Caller, you on the line to ask Dr. G your question.
Hello?
It's you.
Yes,
you're all open.
Oh, okay. I have a question for you. Does peppermint oil or any other essential oil have medicinal purposes?
Oh, that's a great question, actually, and that is a hot topic right now within the anti-aging and regenerative medicine population. The answer is there is absolutely medicinal properties in essential oils. That does not, however, mean that an essential oil is capable in certain circumstances of controlling diabetes or nausea or hypertension. So let me explain that, okay? You wouldn't take a kindergartner, give them the book War and Peace, and expect them to read it and understand it, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's not right to expect something like an essential oil that is capable of managing certain symptoms but isn't really treating the disease to be able to control an advanced disease.
Mm-hmm.
So you think of a lot of the homeopathic remedies just like that, okay? They can treat them to a certain point, and they can control their symptoms, but there may be a point where those homeopathic remedies are just out of their league and not capable of doing it.
Okay. Well, is there a certain amount of sleep needed for everybody, or does the amount of sleep vary per person?
You know, I wish people would, in my lifetime, I wish there were hard standards for absolutely everything. So I wish it was possible to say everyone under the age of 40 needs 8 to 10 hours sleep. It's not like that in our lives because of the trillions of us in the world, all of our biochemistry is different. But there are hard and fast rules that are associated with certain ages. For example, people under the age of 15 really should get between 8 and 10 hours sleep per day. And guess what? That's not just I lay in my bed and drift off to sleep. That's 8 hours of actual REM-associated sleep cycling. And here's the other thing. We get less sleep as we age. So we may fall asleep and physically feel like we were asleep for 8 hours when we're 65. We may only have gotten 6 hours of actual REM-associated sleep. So it's different based on our age.
Wow. Okay.
Thank you.
Okay, Dewan, hang tight, and I'm going to close your line because I'm going to let you talk to us about your business in just in the second segment, if you're still on here.
Okay,
I have another question. Caller, if your last four digits end in 8010, I'm opening up your line now.
Yes,
are
I
you
have
there?
A question about, yes, I'm
okay.
Here. The diabetes neuropathy. Because my mom, she's diabetic, and she have she was describing the stuff to her, to me, about the pins sticking in her feet and all that stuff. But I have neuropathy, but I'm not diabetic, so I don't understand it. I'm really confused about the diabetic stuff because they don't test me, and I'm not. And
okay.
Diabetes is in my family,
caller,
so I don't understand.
That's a really great question.
Mm-hmm.
One thing that you are finding is that there are different kinds of neuropathy, okay? The word neuropathy just means neuro, meaning nerves, pathy, meaning pathology of, okay? So the word neuropathy just means pathology of certain nerves. Now, what you've discovered between your mother and you is that just like people who have dementia, we know that there's Parkinson's dementia and Alzheimer's dementia, and they are caused by different things. Your neuropathy is being caused by whatever you and your doctor have determined to be caused, and then your mother's neuropathy is caused by her diabetes. So they may be treated similarly or they may be treated differently, but you both are suffering from a neuropathy with a different origin.
Okay. Well, I go to the neuropathy here in Georgia. They just got here about 3 years ago, and I have really seen great improvement, the treatment that they've been given. But I've been very confused. I don't know how the neuropathy came up on me. I don't know it came from me traveling a lot. I wasn't resting my leg from a lot of driving or what. I don't know. It just came up on me.
Yes, ma'am.
I've been very puzzled about it, but I do go for treatment.
So, ma'am, one thing that I believe is that people should ask their doctors what the cause of the disease is, but expect your doctor to sometimes say, I don't know. There are neuropathies or nerve damage that we never understand where the original trigger was. And then
they don't know, you're right.
We can say, hey, that's exactly what caused this. And so that's actually part of why diagnosis and treatment is so important, is because sometimes if we don't know what causes things, the original cause will show up years later after the disease has evolved some. So you may find your answer later on, or unfortunately you may have to say, I don't know, I wound up with neuropathy, and I don't know if it was genetic. I don't know.
I think, as long as I keep going for the treatment, because I'm really, these last 3 years, I just got here to Georgia 3 years ago, and I've been under them for 3 years, and I really have seen better improvement with
That's
the nerve damage. So
okay, thank
my
you.
Mom, I'm trying to get her. Thank you. Thank you so much for your info.
Yes,
yes, and if you have another question, feel free to hit press 1. Now, I will tell you, those that are listening, one thing I like about Dr. G is she doesn't try, like I've had doctors in the past, she doesn't try to come up with answers for me. She just tries to help me come up with solutions to feel better. And so that's what you want. You want somebody to, they may not be able to find the answer to how you got the problem, but they're able to help you to control and get the problem, you know, situated and start treatment or whatever. And so that's why I was so very comfortable. And so there are a couple of people that may be listening that will laugh at what I'm about to say. This is my Truth Heals Hurt show. And so I literally call to the hospital, and I only want to talk to her, and I only want... So, you know, some of us have those things. Now, Dr. G, with that being said, because I only want to talk to you about my issues, and do we need a second opinion? What do you think about second opinions?
Okay. I have to tell you that I am a huge advocate for second opinions, because what I know is that every person in the world is not a true expert. And that it takes 3 and 4 times sometimes other eyes looking at a problem, because each one of those people brings some kind of different expertise to the table. That's why your primary care doctor will send you to see a neurologist or a rheumatologist or an endocrinologist, because what they want is that second opinion. And so I have to tell you, I think there's nothing better than someone who will drag another doctor from their office down the hall and say, hey, look at this rash, or hey, what do you think about that? Because that kind of expertise and collaborative thinking is what makes us better as doctors. But Ms. Francis, one of the things you said a minute ago is important, which is just like your relationship with your doctor is a very important and trust filled thing, here's the deal. All doctors are different. When we were married, before that time, we had to date a whole bunch of people before we discovered the person that actually was able to answer our questions and be our partner in our life, right?
Right.
And that's normal for doctors. You should date 5 or 6 doctors. You should have a doctor that you believe is better at one thing or another. You should be able to say, I don't really like this doctor, because your doctor is your true partner in your health. And if they're not, then there's something wrong with that relationship, and you need to really make sure that the person that you're going to trust your health care with is a person who meets exactly what you need.
That's, yes, that is the truth. My last question, and that I have on my list, and it actually works out because our time is coming to an end. It goes by so fast, makes me scream. But the question is there really an amount of water that we need every day, and what is the real amount?
That is a really great question. Okay. So just like the sleep question that we asked a little bit earlier, how much sleep does everyone need? The answer is someone who lives in Antarctica and burns off a certain amount of water per day and uses it needs a different amount of water than someone who, for example, lives in Africa, right? But
right,
the bottom
right.
line is that someone needs to consume somewhere between 1,500 and 2,500 mLs, or somewhere around, let's say, 12 to 24 ounces minimum of water per day. But don't take that as a hard and fast rule, because if you have diabetes or if you have high blood pressure or congestive heart failure, how you process water is different. So you should always ask your doctor if those numbers are specific for you.
Gotcha. So the 8 ounce, like I know some people say you need 8 glasses, 8 ounces a day.
Minimum of 3 to 6 per day. So minimum of somewhere around 24 ounces per day.
24. Oh, now that seems like I can actually accomplish that goal. I just always thought, oh, yeah, that's the minimum. But I always thought that I could accomplish, you know what I'm saying? You get a bottle of water, and most of them are 16.9, I think. And so then I always said these are two glasses. So, but I think if I start off with a goal to, you know, and then work my way up, because I'm trying to stop with the soda.
Remember that you live in a very hot environment. So
yes, that's true.
For you, your difference would be 24 to 36, and
okay.
Then want to shoot. So as an easy calculation, you need to be able to gauge how much water you take in based on also how much urine you produce. But one rule you should always remember, Miss Princess, if you're thirsty, you're already dehydrated.
Wow. Now, that's a good way to tell it. Yeah, I have to have those kind of things. Then I do better. Okay, we have no more questions, and we've come to an end. Is there anything that you would like to say to us about our fear before I let you go? Some of us fear going to the doctor. Some of us fear, and so we don't find out things early. So I want to close out this segment by something you can tell us that will help us to realize that you all are not monsters, that you're there to help us.
Ms. Princess, first of all, thank you so much for letting me be here, and I will be happy to answer any questions that your listeners also come up with, so please know that. But as far as your fear, okay, here's the thing. The bottom line is that people who can recognize their fear are the first step towards being courageous enough to be able to step past that fear. Okay.
Okay.
And whether that fear is because you had a bad experience when you were a child going to the doctor, or because you're afraid of what the doctor will tell you, or because your relationship with your doctor is such that they don't make you feel comfortable enough to come, I have to tell you that facing that fear is the most important thing. And most of the time you'll find that if you can get in the door, your doctor doesn't want anything more than to be your partner for you to have the best health you can have. And you've heard me say this before, but the bottom line is, if your doctor doesn't love you for stinky armpits and discharge and bleeding and whining and crying and feeling bad, then either you need a new doctor or they need a new job, right?
Right. Right. So there you go. And if you all have any questions, again, we have a chat going on my Facebook page. I have now tagged Dr. G in there. So if you have any questions, she's still open for questions. And for those of you that are calling in now, thank you, Dr. G, for coming. I appreciate you. I really do.
Yes, ma'am. Y'all have a great day.
Okay. Okay, now for those of you that are joining me for the second half, this second half is very special because I'm going to just do some randomness and some crazy. I decided not to put somebody on as a guest for the next few minutes because I want people who have a desire to advertise their business, who keep forgetting to send me emails or forgetting to send me their info, to have that opportunity. I want to also talk to you about a couple of books that are coming out that are very dear to me. Well, the people are. The books are life-changing. I'll talk about that in a second. But Dewan is still on the line, so I'm going to let Dewan kick off. Let me open up her line. And if you're on here before Dewan starts talking, if you're on here and you want to talk to me about your business, just press 1, and I will definitely open up your line, and I will let you share with my listening audience. And for those of you that say, oh, I don't want to, because I don't know how many people it's going to reach, blah, blah, blah. I have done 7 episodes. I am at 600 and something people listening at some time. Just within 7 episodes. So it's up to you. People go back and listen to my shows. So I think this is a great opportunity to advertise. Now, to the author friends that I have, I don't know why you guys don't think that your book is a business. To me, any dollar that you can make, I don't know why people don't send me book stuff in. But anyway, Dewan, do you know?
I have no idea. You know, I take advantage of it.
I know. That's why I asked you. So I'm going to leave your line open because we're going to chat with you. Help me do this last half. And my 8010, I still see you in my queue. So I'm going to open up your line. If you don't, if you're just hanging around with us, let me know. So hang on, Dwan. Let me open up this other line.
Okay,
8010, do you have business?
No, I don't now. I used to, but no, I'm retired, so I'm just enjoying life.
Oh, well, that's wonderful. Okay, retirement, mm-hmm. That is awesome. So I thank you for tuning in to my show today. I appreciate you. And I'm going to go ahead and mute your line, but if you want to say anything else, please feel free. We're just getting ready to have some randomness. It's going to be fun randomness, though. Hold on.
Yes.
Okay, Dwan, what's your business?
Sassy Soul Soy Bath and Beauty Luxuries. I make wonderful soy products for skin. And since I make them from home, I can make them according to everybody's skin type.
Mm-hmm. And then we just found out. Oh, go ahead. Go ahead.
I do a moisturizer, sugar scrub, a linen spray, and soy massage candles. I got a lot going on.
Mm-hmm. And I like the scrub stuff. And then I had to figure out how to get the candle to not be so hot. You know, like I was going to try it because I saw it in a movie where you pour on the oil, you know, while it's burning. I don't know if that's right, Dwan.
Yeah.
So tell me right quick how to do that.
See, I make it with soy and I make it with coconut oil so it doesn't get hot. It gets really, really warm.
Okay.
Warm honey on your skin. So it doesn't take long to liquefy. So you light it for a few minutes, let it liquefy, pour the oil out, do whatever you want to do with the oil, and then a good thing about it is when you're done using what you're going to use for the skin, you sit it back up and it turns back into solid form. So you still have it for a scent or for your body.
Oh, see, I like that. Okay, so I wasn't using the right brand. I won't be blasting anybody on the show because that's not what it's about. But truth heals hurt. For those of you that are buying these candles and you're getting burnt, you're not supposed to get burnt. You're supposed to enjoy. There we go.
Yes.
Now, I see my mom on the line. I'm going to add my mom. Hold on 1 second.
No,
hello,
right,
mother. Mother. She talking to somebody.
Uh-uh.
Mother.
Nope. I can sit at home and eat better than this.
I am muting her line. I don't know what it's about. But this is real life, real stuff, real people. And that's why I like my show, because I don't know what they are talking about. But I don't think she was talking to us. What you think? Okay. Now, Dwan, since our sister Yolanda, and I give a shout out to her, the literary guru. Did I say it right? Yeah, guru.
Yes.
Since she has forgotten to send me her information, would you please share with us what she does? I don't want to be on her line, and then she get all these people talking about Princess said that you write books for us. So what's her business?
You're talking to me, Princess?
Yes, what's her?
Oh,
I closed up my mama's line.
Everything. She does everything. She edits, she advertises, she promotes. She is just awesome. She's everything to everybody. She's a blogger, she's a writer. She's just your go-to person for authors.
So let me ask you this. So do we have to be on the level, a high level, to be able to afford her? Because, you know, we have to tell people that before we send them.
No.
Like,
no.
What level should you be on? Or you can just come to her as a new author.
Just go to her and let her work it out.
Okay. So I want to talk right quick, and I don't know if Dawn is knowing the information, but she's co-hosting with me right now, and she did this at the spur of the moment, so I appreciate that.
No problem.
So what I want to talk about. Victoria has a book coming out, and
mm-hmm.
Rashonda has a book coming out. And, Lord, when I tell you I have favor with somebody, the literary
mm-hmm.
God, because Victoria let me read hers first.
Yes.
And, Lord, I thought I was going to burst, like trying not to explode. And then I got Rashonda's next. And before somebody listening be talking about how Princess get the hookup, I designed covers for Brown Girls.
Yes.
So there you go.
Yes.
That's the hookup.
Yes.
All right, there you go. So, but those two books, girl, we not ready. Like, they read like movies.
Oh, hold on, are you, okay,
so,
I know you're talking about Stand Your Ground, but are you talking about Mama's Boy?
Yes.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes.
I cannot wait to read both of them.
That's what I'm talking about. They read like movies. Like, somebody, like, for real now, make me want to gossip type stuff. Like, call somebody and be like, yeah, that kind of stuff. And see, I don't do good reviews. Or let me take that back. I do good reviews. I just do them where they meet the person.
Right.
So I don't do these reviews where people say, and when you get down to this, you will find such and such stuff. I don't do all that.
Right.
I'd be like, girl, look here. I don't know what I'd do if I knew my son had shot somebody and he hiding.
Yes.
And I know he did that to defend. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know what I do. Or I don't know what I do if I saw my husband murder somebody, and some boy, and then I got to lay down next to him. I'm telling you, I'd be like, what?
Yes.
You want to talk about that boy you say? You don't want to talk about that?
Hold on. And your intro just make it even more hype. Just like touched by an angel. I love that little commercial at the beginning, a little cartoon commercial.
Yes. You know, I can't help it. I can't help you stuff. But so, you know, people might not want me to do no review. I got to say something about that while I'm right here, because this is a Truth Heals Hurt radio. And I hope somebody come back and listen to this. You know, those of you that leave reviews on Amazon, and Lord, please don't let me get in any trouble as an author. But I got to say this. You know, people tickle me, Dawn. They so mean sometimes with some of their reviews. Like, do you just wake up in the morning and just want to say something ugly to somebody and break somebody's author career when you don't have no books at all? Half of y'all don't even write
that's
books.
Right.
But you'll get on there talking about, this sucked. It wasn't realistic.
Right.
It was
right.
Well, 100 billion, 1,000 people in this world, so it might not be realistic to you,
but why would you go on that
and do that to people and damage their self-esteem? And, you know, even if it's not as good a book as you thought, it's something nice you could be saying now.
That's right. And I'm an avid reader. I love to read, and I love to do reviews. I would never, ever, ever write a bad review. Because it's some good in every story.
Yeah, even if it's predictable. Even if you predicted
it
the first chapter or whatever, it can have good writing skills. It can have a good plot. It can have a good flow. You could like the doggone characters in the book or something. But some of these people are so harsh, they just say some crazy stuff. And then they tell me, I gave you one star. Well, you have give me no stars. You know what I'm saying? Your star ain't worth anything. You know what I'm saying? Your star ain't worth it. I don't even see your star because you done hurt my feelings. You done brought me down. So what is a star for? They should give them people like a different category. Because what you give me a star for?
Right.
And then it says you must give a star, some star, in order to be able to write, you know, some kind of...
a review. Well, Princess, I just have to ask, and everybody that came to the book signing for Touched by an Angel knows what I'm about to ask. Will we have a story about Dr. David?
The Victoria and I are supposed to get together, and try to come up with something else. We was thinking about maybe doing a holiday book.
Okay.
Like holiday, we come every holiday with something.
Okay.
And then there's different scenarios with Dr. David, but just a different story. You know what I'm saying? Because
yes,
we figure
yes.
we will get a review that say, y'all wrote this last year, and this is not interesting, you know, blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
We don't want that. We need to sell these books. But now let me tell you, the support was so amazing for Touched by an Angel. It's continuing to be amazing, even though, you know, some people think it's a Christmas book. It's not. It's a book about trust
mm-hmm.
and
trusting
what you know. And, you know, just dealing with real issues. And right now, Dewan, I'm in the middle of two books, and Victoria offered to help me and talk me through them. But I believe that when you know what your issue is, you should not waste people's time. And she's been very helpful to me. And so for me to get her, pull her out of all the things that she's doing to coach me again with what she's already told me, you know what I'm saying? Sometimes we just got to man up or woman up and do what we're supposed to be doing.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Stop all this babying, you know, getting baby to death. You know, we know what we're supposed to be doing. Like, she already taught me quite a bit. And so this... she offered to go through it with me, but I'm like, she has so much on her plate, you know, that I know what my problem is. I just need to sit down and doggone do it. There you go.
But you know what? I feel the same way when I'm inboxing you about me and my writing. I appreciate it because you busy too. You designing all these book covers, and I know you got books coming out. So I appreciate you helping me.
Yeah, well, no, I don't mind helping. See, but I'm talking about Victoria, you see where she's, you know, taking care of her mom. She's trying to do these tours.
Yes.
She's running Brown Girl. Not that I'm not doing as much as she is. I'm not. That's the truth. But, you know, just trying to be considerate because she's already, like, I hear her voice already in my head.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, well, I'm so excited about what you got coming out.
Hold on. Child, I got so much. That's why I need to sit my behind down. I'm doing the Big Mama quotes because I think people need to hear that.
Uh-huh.
I thought of one that she said the other day. I thought of another one that she said, never make a person reject you twice or tell you they don't want you twice. There you
go. Right.
The first time was enough.
Okay, that's another question. Are we going to get a Big Mama book? We need a Big Mama book.
Yeah, well, see, that's what I'm working on. I'm working on a book, Big Mama quotes, but I'm trying to figure out the best way to do it. Should I put it like an inspirational type book form, you know, and just have the quotes just listed, you know what I'm saying? Like listed in some kind of order, because it's not in order. She just was talking, you know, as things happened. You know what I'm saying? So I'm like, should I just take a book and make like an inspirational guidebook or Big Mama's guidebook? Actually, Dewan, you can help me come up with a title. Let me open up 8010, and she can help us too. Hold on. She can help us come up. Okay, I'm opening your line again for my retired friend.
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, listen, I'm trying to, because you guys are the ones that are in my queue. I opened up my mama line again because she was talking about something. She probably laughing now. But I am trying to find a title, something that reminds a person of Big Mama. I thought about switches, but I don't want people to think when they read the book that they're going to get whippings. So what's your favorite Big Mama memory or something that Big Mama used to say, or grandmama, or granny, whatever y'all call y'all grandmama, if y'all.
Well, you know, I used to call mine. We used to call her Mo. And
Mo,
we used to hear her always tell us, especially when it was lightning and thunder, go sit y'all tail down somewhere, children.
Yes.
And switches, switches need to be brought back out here, to be honest.
Mm-hmm.
Some of these kids, they really need it.
Yes.
Switches probably need to be on some title. They really do, because, honey, these children is out of whack now. I still carry camera switches with my grandkids. And I'm going to always carry a switch.
Mine used to tell me don't get caught up in the whirlwind. And when I was smaller, I thought she was talking about the whirlwind that you see in the dirt. But as I got older, I realized she was talking about the whirlwinds of life. Don't get caught up in a whirlwind that you forgot, that you forget to live.
Right. That's good.
Right, right. That's true. That's true. Yeah. So then maybe I can open up. Well, see, I can't let everybody share, but I would like to hear some of other people's, but everybody's going to want a penny or 50 cents, you know, for offering what they Big Mama said.
But you know what? The thing about what I love about the Big Mama quotes is it's a testimony for everybody to take the time out to listen. We may not understand what our grannies were telling us or what they tell us, but as we get older, that knowledge and those words come back to help us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And see, my grandmama, she was a hard, like, you know, tough. And it was a couple of times when she shared stuff with me that if she hadn't shared that with me, you know, like personal stuff, her own personal stuff, I would not have a clue as to how to deal with certain situations.
Right.
Because she was talking to me about, you know, one time she was telling me something about my granddaddy not being too faithful to her. And I was like, well, you know, y'all stay with people for 50-some years, 60-some years. She said, no, I don't. I said, well, Lord.
Yeah.
She said, so, but majority of the people around me, they was together forever, I thought, you know.
Right.
And I was looking at a situation saying, okay, you put up with this for 50-some years, and then what good is this relationship? You know what I'm saying? People sleeping in two bedrooms.
Yes,
and so I would tell her, and I would just vent to her about what I thought love was like. I did that on my blog today, too. But I was just telling her, and you know what? I had a kind of grandmama, Big Mama, that would just tell me. She was like, she said she took her and my mama to Atlanta, stay with my auntie. Mm. And that's somebody who never, she didn't have no job. That's somebody who, so she taught me that, hey, you're going to be all
right,
boo. Right. Get yourself together. We got family. We got somewhere to go. And see, that right there alone lets me, I'm able to help other people because of some of those words. And then a lot of people don't realize I shared a room with my grandmother for 21 years. Like she was my sister, you know, more.
Right.
And we had some arguments. Like she'd tell me, cut that light off at 6:30 and don't come back in here and get no shoes out. Pack that phone up. Don't come back in. And I'm like, it's still daylight. What you mean? I try to get my clothes. Y'all just don't know.
And she gave you that look, too, didn't she?
She was like, don't come back in without it. And then let me tell you something. She didn't like who I was talking to. She let them know that. She let them people know. She said, you the ugliest person she ever dated. What's the matter with you?
Okay, so Big Mama didn't sugarcoat anything.
No, what for? She was like, what for?
Okay.
She ain't got nothing to lose. She said the old. Let me tell y'all something I thought about the other day, and I'm going to see what y'all say about this. I was writing some of her stuff down, and she said as the years go by, it's going to be less and less with common sense. And I said, oh, whatever. It's going to be people with common sense. But you know what I realized? Now, here we go. She died in 1998, and here we are in 2016, and it is people with less and less common sense.
Right.
You're right about that.
You be thinking people just be saying stuff. You know,
what?
Like, you can't see it. I'm like, oh, okay, well, we're going to all be stupid. Because her favorite word was, you sure just stupid. You just stupid as all. What? You know, when you make bad choices. So my mama is totally different. My mama is soft-spoken and nurturing and encouraging.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you can climb mountains. My grandmama say, get you behind up that mountain. And you ain't got 2 hours to do that. Ain't nobody got time to be standing out here waiting on you to get up the mountain. And my mama different. You know what I'm saying? My mama would be, you can do it. You just press towards it. And so guess what? I do better with somebody like my grandmama.
I do
better when she called and she said, she talked 2 minutes and she didn't want to be bothered with you or less. She said, hey, how you doing? And I said, fine. What y'all doing? Well, we just got something to eat. All right, then. I love you. Bye-bye.
That's how I like my grandmama. She was humble. And one thing about it, she mean what she say, and she say what she mean.
Yeah.
And she didn't sugarcoat nothing. And she'd sit in her chair with her long switch, and used to reach across the
head
of it and get it in the room.
Yes. And see, I met Granny. She was like grandmama to me. I met her in Locust Grove. You remember the Goodman's grandmother?
Yes.
Lily's mom.
Yes.
She was just like that, too. It says she going to cuss you. She going to say, sit your A down somewhere. So I'm used to that kind of stuff, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying
to make kids leave this day.
Yeah.
See, a lot of these parents is having children, and they children themselves. They need grandmama to raise their mama. That's supposed to be mama for their children.
That's
they need some old fashioned grandpa parents.
That's true.
Yes. 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 That is true. Mhm. So I want to get the Big Mama quotes out, and I would love to have some input from people, but like I told y'all, we already ain't going to make but a little penny on the book, and then if I ask other people their opinions, they're going to want some of the money, and so I'm just trying to
see. Oh, you
got to
worry about mine.
So y'all may have to send some, because it's something that most of our grandmamas said, but when people see dollar signs, they go to, you know.
Wow.
It's like even now I'm changing names in my book because I'm not giving you no money because your name.
Yep.
I'm not doing it. I didn't know people were just petty. I didn't understand.
Princess, but do they really want money for our people?
I was greedy out here.
Oh, what you talking about?
Wow.
The one I saw you use my name. So is that what you get for when you, like, for instance, the reason why I have not written my life story is because I'm not doing that. I already am not able to take care. Like, this author thing is not a joke. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
It's not a joke.
Mm-hmm.
It's a business. Like, I can't quit my job now just as what I've done alone. And
right.
So if you get a good deal like Victoria or like Rashonda, then you have arrived at another level, I get.
Mm-hmm.
But I still to share with everybody. I mean, people are really foolish. Like, you use their name.
Yeah.
Like, in the dating game, for those people that don't know it, I used all of my children's middle names.
Yeah.
And so I was able to write. But I have been writing down people's names that I don't know nobody named that. I've been doing all this. Because I didn't realize when I first had my book out that people were going to be so foolish.
Wow.
Or old people talking about, are you talking about me? No.
It's so much greedy out here. It's just greed.
Wow. It don't make no sense.
And God,
you know, so, yeah, it don't make sense.
It don't make no sense, but God seeing them. God see all that greed. I mean,
right,
that's greedy.
Right.
They don't look. Yep. They don't look at the book. How the book can value their life if they just read it. And just take it in and live their life. But they never, you know, just look at part of it. But money ain't everything. That's what's wrong with this world right now. It's with money.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody greed, just money.
Yeah.
Money is the love of money. It's root of all evil. It's the wrong relationship. That's what's wrong with a lot of people now. And that's why God not going to bless them with money. That's why a lot of time they be talking about, I want to be a millionaire. God's not gonna put no million in your hand. You're not taking care of what you're doing with the little. You ain't paying them tithe. You ain't giving no offering.
Yeah.
So hey, he gonna bless you with a million? No, he's not.
Now you done preach, girl. And how many minutes? There was a. You done said something. I'm gonna tell people to listen to the show.
This is Sister Connie. This is your faithful friend, Sister Connie.
Sister Connie.
I'm getting ready to church at 10 o'clock.
Okay. Now, kind of go to church now. Yes, uh-huh. So, kind of, you're going to have to set up something with me. We got 10 seconds to do the show. because I know you got some truth that can heal. And DeJuan, I thank you for joining me today. And y'all, this going to cut off on us.
All right.
I just want to thank you for this show.
It's time to go. But I'll be back next week, same day, same time, but with a different guest. I'm out.